Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare with your children being raised by someone else? With our free information, you can lead a less stressful life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom41.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 41.com. Freedom41.com. And start earning great money as soon as next week.
The legendary Peter Noon is joining us on the line right now. Hi, Peter.
Hi, thanks. Jeremy, legendary, that's always just makes me sound like I'm not quite alive anymore.
Oh, well, how about iconic? What would you suggest?
Well, it depends which town you're in, but I'll go with anything you call me. Anything you call me now, as long as you get the name spelled right.
We'll do that. All right, perfect. So now you're still touring, you're still rocking. After all these years, you know what? I think that's something to be proud of, right? You know, you can say that you're getting older, but you know what? You've still got it. So, hey, that's the main point, isn't it?
Exactly. I think you know what it is I discovered recently what I found out is that I'm this 17-year-old boy that lives inside a 63-year-old man's body.
Right.
And I have to, when I go on stage, I actually think I'm 63. It's almost Stanislavski. It's like, I believe, you know, I become another person for that and a half. And by the way, that you feel that the next day when you're 63.
Do you? So, well, now aside from that, though, how does it feel, though? I mean, is it still exciting when you go out there? Like, what's it like still on the road?
It is. You know, what happened is, it's very funny. I'm in Nashville, and my daughter came with me to a concert here. There was a band playing Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon. And I was just going to be a guest and sing See Emily Play, which is not really part of Dark Side of the Moon. So they played the whole of Dark Side of the Moon brilliantly, I may add. And then at the end, they had like guests who got and sang, and I sang See Emily Play. And my daughter said, "Are you nervous?" I said, "Of course I'm nervous. I'm always nervous." And then I realized that, you know, people, if you're not nervous, it means you're too comfortable in it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't have a set list, and I don't, like, program the show to be, you know, the same old, day in, day out. It wasn't really for myself that I did. I wanted to make sure that the Hermits always were, you know, enthusiastic, really, because if you don't know what the next song is, you have to listen and you have to pay attention, like in a play.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very enthusiastic, and I'm always very nervous because, first of all, I don't know what I'm going to do next. So it means that look of enthusiasm on their faces could also be consternation. What the heck is it next?
All right.
And they know that I don't know. So it keeps it very fresh, you know. I mean, we're kind of all excited to do concerts. We're always happy to see each other. You know, I know bands that don't have that option, you know, that they're all, we don't hang out. We don't all go out to dinner together every day. We just friends musically. And that was the part of that. That's what makes it work, I think, when we get road and we do what we do as well as we can. It's never perfect.
Yeah. What do you do before a show then to relax if you're nervous? What happens before a show?
Well, I've got a routine. I'm one of those old timers. You know, I get in my dressing room. I have no visitors for an hour before. And I do these warm ups, you know, and I do stretches. And then I talk to the band about, and then I find where I am and where the people in the audience are likely to be from. It's just old formula, you know, that you would, almost like a stand-up comedian, you have to have that bit of time before to get yourself in order.
Yeah.
And I always do that. I mean, I've always done that, and people misinterpret. You say, you know, we say, guests, no alcohol, no smoking, no visit, you know. The dressing room is where we prepare for the show, and usually one of the parts of the warm-up is we usually sing like a couple of Everly Brothers, a couple of Beatles songs, and for our own entertainment, you know what I mean? We sing music with each other, we play guitars, and people wonder what we're doing on the downtime, and on the downtime we're doing what we're doing on the stage.
So what song of yours, because I know you're playing, you know, hits from way back, what's the song that gets the biggest response at your shows? Is there always one that people go crazy for?
You know, it changes. You know, there's different songs. You know, there's some songs that we do, like, in Europe that they're not even known in America. You know, it's just strange. You know, I like to open with I'm Into Something Good because it's such a great opening song. You know, woke up this morning feeling fine.
Mm-hmm.
And I always end with There's a Kind of Hush All Over the World, and they both get probably the biggest First of all, they think, why is he starting with one of his best songs? Well, we've got loads of them.
Yeah.
But then, and then some nights, you know, we do No Milk Today, which was a B-side in North America, and that gets a huge response because people know it. You know, that's the one that sort of people discovered after the band. Sort of discovering a Buddy Holly song that was his B-side but is your favorite. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we get a big response to No Milk Today sometimes. And we get, you know, each song has a different place. Like if you're playing in California, A Must to Avoid was the biggest song in California. Who knows? I think they're all just I treat them all with the maximum amount of respect, you know, and everybody in the band has to try to play it at least as good as it was on the original recording by 17-year-old boys.
Now, I know, exactly, you started in music really early, and I mean, let's sort of shift gears then, because, you know, show business, the kids are starting really young these days, and you did it, obviously, successfully. What are your thoughts on it in the way the celebrity world is now? Like, were you ready for fame personally? Do you think you could have handled it if you just started out today?
You know, I don't think they have those vans anymore that you travel around with all your equipment and all your clothes in it.
Right.
And I think that is a necessary. If you think about the people who had any lasting appeal, they all did that. You know, they drove around together in a van and they got rid of the bass player because he had gas, and one guy drank too much and they got rid of him. I think there's a period of 2 years that you need to just be finding who band or who the entertainer is. And I think what happens now, people get pushed out there really quickly and they burn out. You know, because if you don't know who you are in a band, then you're really going to struggle out there on the road. You're going to spend a lot of time in your room or in a bar. So we didn't get, because we knew we were Herman Hermits, and all we wanted to do was hear our songs on the radio. That was we didn't have a plan beyond that.
Right.
So we knew who we were. We were Herman Hermits. And people said, well, you know, you need to do a psychedelic album. And we, like, laughed in their faces, like anybody who would have bought the record would have laughed in our faces.
Mm-hmm.
We knew who we were and what we weren't capable of doing, and nobody could ever talk us into doing anything beyond that.
You couldn't
talk us into doing, you know, they wanted us to do the Ed Sullivan Show, and we only agreed to do it because I wanted to meet Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons.
Okay.
We do it when they're on.
Right.
And, you know, it's kind of preposterous, but we did have a very good taste, I think, we're playing in Memphis. Can I meet Elvis? You know what I mean?
Right. Well, and I mean, the reason why I ask that is because back in the day, it seems like there was more emphasis on the music and appreciation for the music, and I say it coincidentally, a girl from Winnipeg just last week posted a video on YouTube, and Lady Gaga saw it the next day, then the girl was off to Toronto, then just this morning she was on the Ellen show. Like, all within a week, she's all of a sudden, you know, big-time celebrity stardom, and she's 9 years old. I mean, I can only imagine it's exciting, but probably scary, too, because now there's this expectation that she's going to be this big-time recording artist, right? I mean, that's kind of what happens.
Yeah, I know. A friend of mine once said, you know, the trouble with that is that the voice doesn't get better than that. You know what I mean? The trouble with making it too quickly is that sometimes the voice doesn't improve. You just become a regular singer. The thing is, wow, she's so great and she's only 9. Well, by the time she's 17, she'll only be the same as all those other 17-year-old singers.
Yeah.
And won't be good enough.
Right, and she's 9 and she can sing somebody else's song really nicely. You know, like that's kind of...
Everybody loves all that. It's like Susan Boyle and all that stuff. Everybody loves something that just pops out. And it's all so ordinary. I mean, you mentioned Lady Gaga, which is just—they're just revamps of Madonna. I mean, I think it's what Herman Sunfire. Well, listen, when I started, if you were like anybody else, if they could liken you to somebody else, you wouldn't even get signed to the deal.
Right.
You already got one of those. So explain that. The Beatles weren't like Elvis Presley, and Elvis Presley wasn't like Herman Hermits, and Herman Hermits weren't like the Beatles or Elvis Presley or the Stones, and the Stones like the Zombies, and the Zombies weren't like the Pacemakers, and the Zombies weren't like Herman Hermits, and the Herman Hermits weren't like the Stones, and the Stones weren't like Elvis Presley or
right.
The Beatles. for everybody that was in the charts those weeks, and none of them were like Roy Orbison or Gene Pitney, and they were all in the charts at the same time. None of them you could be saying, you know, it's like, because you heard the Stones, you knew it was the Stones.
Yeah.
But now I hear songs, I have no idea who it is.
Yeah.
No idea. Is it the Kings of Leon? Is it U2, or is it, wait, no, oh, sorry, it's Coldplay. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, and exactly right.
There's hundreds and hundreds of people all making the same records. Well, you know, you put a Roy Orbison, there are people all through the musical, or each musical period who stand out. Sex Pistols, you know that's the Sex Pistols. Elton John, you know it's Elton John.
Mm-hmm.
Billy Joel, you know it's Billy Joel. You know, there's all these people who pop out and you go, Billy Joel, Olivia Newton-John, you know, you can name them. And they're the difference. The rest of the people are just washing around in this fluff of disappointments, because you know that they're not going to, 30 years from now, they're not going to be able to do it.
And I think that, you know, a lot of the emphasis on computerization, in a sense, right? I mean, it's you don't even have to sing perfectly. It's the computer does all the work these days, it seems.
That's a line out of my show, you know. I say, and you will hear mistakes, but we only make them to prove we're not on a computer.
That's a good way to do it.
You know, sometimes it's a real train wreck, because we do songs that we don't know some nights, because that's what keeps it fresh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I went through this period of years where I would ask the audience to request a song that they thought we didn't know. And, you know, you always get some schmuck who shouts out Free Bird, but sometimes we get shout out songs that have now become, you know, we think we don't know them. Sometimes I only listen to the songs that I think might, you know, there's a lot of people shouting. Of course, I'm like a magician, only going to choose the one that we know a bit of.
Right.
We added all kinds of songs to our repertoire from that element of saying, anybody got a request for a song that we don't know? And they'd shout out, like, Love Potion number 9 or Doo Wah Diddy or something that's their generation. And, of course, we play all those.
Mm-hmm.
You can play. That's what we do for fun.
Right.
We play people's songs for fun.
Sounds like a very entertaining show, so I guess I'm not even going to ask what we can expect at the show, because you don't even know what we're going to expect at the show until you're up there.
You know, you hear all of some of its biggest songs. You know, we're going to do, like, I'm Into Something Good and Wonderful World and Listen People and Silhouettes and Just a Little Bit Better and Mrs. Brown Got a Lovely Daughter and I'm Henry the Eighth I Am and She's a Must to Avoid and No Milk Today and There's Kind of Hush and, you know, probably I Walk the Line or, you know, Start Me Up by the Stones or It's Not Unusual by Tom Jones or Cheer Up, Daydream Believer by Davy Jones. You know, we do all those and, you know, He Stopped Loving Her Today by George Jones. You know, we do everything that we can fit in. We're always over time. We're one of those bands that always plays longer than we're supposed to.
they're turning the lights off in the background and you're still up there.
Yeah.
They're trying to close the place.
Yeah.
So I guess so. We're going to see you March 10th at McPhillips Street Station, just down the street from the office here, and all of the details about your tour, because you're going all over the place. Actually, this is quite funny. I should point this out before we go. We had Latin singer John Cicada on the show last week. He was coming to Winnipeg, as you are now, and he started out in Florida, and he went to Florida before he came to freezing Canada. So is that kind of how it goes? Because I know you're doing Florida right before Canada.
We don't care about stuff like that.
Okay.
We're an all-weather band. You know, we're just happy that there's people anywhere who want to see us. So we just go wherever. And our agent has a monkey that throws darts at a global world to choose our next.
I love it. Well, because, yeah, looking at your schedule, I mean, you're zigzagging all over the place. So that's also got to keep it really exciting, too.
Because we can't resist saying yes. People say, would you like to play? And we say yes before they tell us where it is.
And that's probably the good way to look at back to the whole showbiz thing, right? I mean, you don't want to get too cocky and too full of yourself. You want to still be grounded and humble about it.
We're old timers. We're still humble enough to admit that we've got the best job in the world.
You avoided the whole jaded attitude. That's great.
Yeah, I feel sorry for people who get jaded. Hey, listen, in Nashville, you don't see any jaded people. They love to play.
Absolutely, absolutely, and coincidentally, our company is launching a syndicated country music show next Monday, so that's why we love country music. It's great. So,
great. So
all the details, peternoon.com, right, is your website for all the details about your tour and upcoming events?
Yeah, peternoon.com, hermanthermis.com, or all those Facebook places. It's all over the place.
We'll
we constantly dabble in that.
Well, it keeps you out there. We'll be looking forward to March 10th here in Winnipeg. Peter Noon, thanks so much for joining us today.
Great, thank you. It was great talking to you. What fun.
Thanks very much. Appreciate it.